Hello and welcome to another episode of TPC, the AY and Friends podcast. I'm your host, as per usual, the AY, and currently I play not much War Machine because I picked up a second job, and honestly, it's very difficult to find time to go out and play, and even if I do have the day off and like can go play War Machine on our War Machine nights, I'm usually so drained, but it's okay. I think by mid-June, I will be able to play War Machine again, but I don't think I'm going to waste all your time out there by talking to you about my personal life and not being able to play War Machine. Because, you know, speaking of not playing War Machine, the Southern Ontario Open is coming up in about a week, and I have not played a game in, like, pretty much, like, 7+ weeks, with, like, you know, an exception here and there, like that Battle Report game and stuff that I played. So I hope I'm ready. I mean, I really need to finish assembling my Striker 3, or finish painting it anyway, and, you know, I'm probably not going to get any practice games in with him before the Open, so if I fail at War Machine, I don't know. I guess maybe that's just my destiny. I just won't make it to War Machine weekend, who knows. Anyway, so I'm sure you're all dying to know what the topic for today is. And you know what? The topic for today is, this game is not for you. Clearly the dog also agrees. I'm going to say right now, this game is not for you. Maybe not you, the listener, but I'm sure there's people out there that I can tell them, this game is not for you. So, over the years, I've played many games of War Machine, and I've watched even more. It is easily the best and most satisfying game I've had the pleasure of calling my hobby, and through it, I've met some great people. But I've also heard a lot of complaints too. Mind you, a lot of these people who complained either don't play very often, or some not even at all, so maybe it's irrelevant. But it's something I wanted to discuss. This game, on the surface, has always been known as an aggressive, fast-paced miniatures game with a very tight rule set that rewards skill, critical thinking, and competitive play. I can't say I've played too many tabletop games, but I can definitely say, compared to those I've played, there is no contest. This game is all of those things, and the other games, I just feel, can't even compete on the same level. Now, maybe it's not so fast-paced, I mean, compared to, like, you know, like video games or something, but playing on the clock helps with that, I guess. And, you know, even then, the games generally end in some kind of decisive victory. Whether it be time running out, scenario victory, or caster kill, this game generally doesn't draw to two sides tabling each other and killing everything on the table until each side only has like one or two models. Kind of like every game I've ever played of the last two editions of 40k. You know what? Even third edition was like that most of the time, but I digress. Regardless, War Machine, as you probably know if you are listening to this cast, is pretty much a game that caters to competitive players who don't want any nonsense and ambiguity in the way rules are written. There's no clause on the first page of the rulebook saying, if you and your opponent have a disagreement on the rules, roll a d6 and the person can be right for this game. And you can tell that the players actually care about balance and the state of the game, because when things slip through the cracks, like the Kalissa No Quarter Theme Force, the forums exploded with people saying, PP, I hope you're going to fix this. Because, you know what, with the exception of some trolls, and I guess, you know, some people are just into that kind of thing, generally, we play this game because it's a good game. We get satisfaction from playing a good game that requires knowledge, use of knowledge, and execution. That's why a lot of us don't get incredible satisfaction from winning shallow games. When was the last time you won a game of Go Fish and felt happy for a game well played? Heck, when you think about it, when was the last time you even played Go Fish? The point is, this game is driven by players who want to play a game worth playing. Clean, well-written rules with lots of options for executing victory. Now, this is not to try and say people who don't want to play competitively, let's say in tournaments and conventions, have no place in this game. Basically, I've played this game almost exclusively at home or at the shop, and not in a tournament setting. But even the, quote, casual player, you know, and I really hate that people separate competitive and casual, but whatever. Even a casual player who plays this game is to be competitive, because their choices and actions will greatly affect the outcome of any given game they play. The casual War Machine player still plays this game to be challenged and experience depth in a game beyond rolling a bunch of 4+s on buckets of dice. So, what do you tell the complainers out there who are unhappy with the way this game works? Let's just say the person says,
I don't like that I can randomly lose because I placed my model too far up the table. You know what? Tough it up. Learn threat ranges and learn to mitigate those precarious situations where a fraction of an inch can cost you a game. In this game, where precise measurements matter, there are no apologies for being that little bit out. Forget the fact that there are tons of third-party templates out there with various measurements for different situations. Think of all the widgets you've ever seen. The official Privateer Press template set comes with that little melee gauge. It has a little side on it for half an inch. Half an inch matters in this game, so deal with it. I also once heard someone say, and I'm pretty sure I've brought this up before, I feel like I have to study to be able to play this game. Well, you know what? He didn't like this game for that reason. And, well, to that I say tough. Learn to deal with it. Part of what makes people play this game over and over is the fact that there are so many different rules and interactions. The first thing I immediately noticed when I learned to play this game is the ability to make combos. The fact that models have different activation phases allows one model to set up the pins and another one to knock them down. If you feel that all the different rules make this game too complicated, this game is also not for you. There are more simple, and simple does not mean bad, games out there for you to play. But all of the rules never seem to bog the game down. Privateer Press has actually struck an incredible balance between depth and complexity of rules and playability. The fact that every solo has their own special rules and every model always has multiple choices in what to do with their activations makes for real choice on the battlefield. I'll take that over move, 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 charge because now you're in charge range any day. Caster kills. That's the next, I guess, controversial topic. Oh man, that's cheap. You know what? Caster kills are one of the most refined points about this game. It makes both players have to balance out whether they use their full potential with the cost of putting their caster and the game at risk. And you know what? This is real choice that you get in a game that actually rewards risk-taking and punishes you with actual consequences. Let's say losing the game. Or just losing some very important pieces. It's consequences. And it's up to you to determine when to utilize this. I have played countless games of 40k from 3rd edition until now, where the games essentially go one of two ways. The first is where one side completely dominates the other by cascading to victory. You know what? Sometimes it's even through sheer luck. You take out a key piece with a lucky glancing hit, now 3 I guess in the new edition, or you manage to cut through their powerful retinue with lucky 4, 5s, and 6s. And once that happens, they have less to fight back with, and it's really like a domino effect. The other, if both players have reasonably equal army matchups and skill, let's just say, it's where two sides grind each other down and essentially table each other. Your general versus my general, or your half a unit versus my half a unit. And somehow, our giant armies have fought so hard that they've both been obliterated. You know what? That is fine, because that's just how the game works. And the game is designed in such a way where the game still ends up being quick because, you know, it doesn't degenerate into a bunch of very specific rules about activations for it to go down that way. But you know what? War Machine is not like that. And caster kills prevent the first... from ever deciding victory right from the get-go. If you see you are starting to fall apart, you can always go for a Hail Mary. And often, those are some of the most memorable and exciting games. It's like, I'm gonna lose, but, you know, 6-6 is gonna win me the game. Oh, wow, I got it. And everyone's like, yeah, we love you, AY. Except for the guy that you played against. They aren't impressed. And as far as situations where two armies grind each other out till it's basically one or two models on each side, well, that's really just a rarity in War Machine. But when it does happen, it definitely is still very nerve-wracking because the fewer and fewer models that are alive, that means there's fewer and fewer models to stay between your caster and death. So at least there's still that level of excitement there. So as the years have gone by, I've seen players come and go, but the game keeps growing. And you know what? I'm happy for the players. I'm happy for the fans. I'm happy for Privateer Press. And in general, I'm just happy this game exists. There are so many things that this game has that other notable games don't. But the same can be said vice versa. So when I hear people complain about the game in a non-constructive way, I say, then quit. You know what? I try to dig a little bit to see what exactly they don't like about the game and what they think they don't like, you know, and I try to see if they can be convinced otherwise. But if they're just being whiny babies, then I don't want them playing the game anyway. In the past, I was actually different, and I was like, oh no, everyone should love this game because this is the best game, so everyone has to play it. But you know what? I found out that it's pretty much futile. People who know they like this game, and people who, you know, have nothing but complaints about the game, generally, there will be no satisfying them. So, what can you do? Speaking of which, sorry to all those who feel fire is raining down from the skies over the new errata. Yes, this will make you have to adapt how to put your units on the table. And you know what? Maybe there will be that game when you get screwed over because of your poor placement in combination with opponent's crafty ability to exploit it. But, like everything else in this game, it's a learning thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, not really me, the complainers. The thing is, a lot of shenanigans that people are afraid of are so situational or difficult to actually manufacture. Most of the movement shenanigans that people can use offensively generally have either questionable ranges to get specific angles that will actually get models out of formations, and even then, most of these abilities will likely just kill the model outright. For those who talk about TK though, since that won't kill the model, I don't know about you, but as an avid user of TK myself, oftentimes I have better uses of my TKs, and heck, just better uses of my focus in general, than trying to get a lone trooper model in some wonky position to try and prevent from buffing that unit. Plus, if your opponent really needed that buff, they can probably find some way to bring coherency back to the unit somehow by, you know, shooting the model in the back or whatever like that. Now, I'm not going to say I agree with the errata. In fact, I wholeheartedly disagree with this rule. All it does is it confuses us existing players as to why it was implemented, and it just limits the way we activate our models. And for new players, you know, they're just going to think it's stupid when they get caught with their pants down because they either accidentally left their own models out of coherency, or a sly opponent creates a situation through careful sniping where they neuter the unit's ability to buff. Either way, it's a pretty sad situation to be in. It's a negative play experience. Maybe Privateer Press will rescind this errata and, you know, change it again next time. Who knows? But basically right now, I feel it's overkill to try to solve the whole Mirvana 2 problem. Drop a nuke on an anthill. Oh, and speaking of dropping nukes. So, the new conversion and painting ruling that came out on the Privateer Press forums by Will Hungerford. First and foremost, I completely get it. Privateer Press is growing, the game is getting bigger, more people are playing it. Every day, pictures are being posted up of people's models and videos of matches, you know, all of the big tourneys that are, you know, being posted up on YouTube and whatever. Privateer Press is even putting up their own videos from Iron Gauntlet. So I understand that they don't want their flagship event to happen, and people are like watching from around the world and they see a bunch of models with Tyranid legs running around on the table. You know, especially with certain notorious companies out there who may sue you for poor reasons. You know, it doesn't mean that these companies will win the lawsuits, but it's really a headache that no one wants to go through. So, to be safe, the new policy is out, and it says no using logos or iconography from other intellectual properties. You know what? That is fine and dandy. But then, as a just-in-case measure, there's the catch-all in there. Here's the quote. Iconic elements and iconography, am I even pronouncing that word right, include, but are not limited to, logos, symbols, yeah, obviously, weapons, helmets, armor, I guess I can see where, like, you know, some models, it is kind of like when you see a certain weapon, it's like, it's obvious, like chain swords, let's just say, you know that's from 40K. Costumes and costume color schemes? Really, to tell you the truth, we're really stretching things now, I feel. And then character likenesses and creature designs. I guess that's where the Tyranid legs come in from. So, wow, you know, that is a lot. Mind you, most War Machine players will be exempt from this. This is not for hobby leagues, and obviously it is not for people who play at their friends' houses and in their basements and stuff like that. So the majority of the player population is safe. But for the big, official Privateer Press sanctioned events, basically don't bother converting a model with pieces that aren't from Privateer Press models. Don't even paint them in a recognizable color scheme. The sad thing is, I actually play with a local who has nothing but cool, characterful armies. One of them is his Orknar army. Basically, it's a Darius battle group army where the Jax and Darius are all actually like giant orcs. They all have orc heads, they have orc banners on them, and it's all very cool. But he cannot play it at any national level con event. His second army has very few conversions. Instead, it's a whole Green Lantern-themed army, it's a Retribution army, where all the Jax and Warcasters are notable models who happen to be like Green Lanterns, basically. And all the Trooper models are painted like the green constructs from that the Green Lanterns would create. It's very creative, but very illegal with all those Green Lantern logos everywhere. And you know what? The worst thing you can tell a guy who puts all kinds of work into, you know, making this very flavorful army is, sorry, buddy, if you want to play at big events, you have to tear off all those conversions and paint over all those symbols you masterfully painted, I guess. So, you know, too bad, so sad for people like that, I guess.
Luckily, this local does not play in, you know, national events or anything like that, and has no interest in doing so. But there are people who do like to have this kind of creativity and express it through conversions, and they do want to play at the national level, which, you know, it happened recently.
I'm going to paraphrase something a local told me, and, you know, I'm going to add some things to put into context. But basically, he told me that if Privateer Press's policy is actually the case where people can't convert models to play in official events, then I'd quit the game right now. My response to him is, you know what, then quit, because that's pretty much the actual policy. It was already restrictive before, you know, with the whole at least 50% of the model must be the original model, weapons can only be subbed out for the same kind of weapon, and it must be completely recognizable as the original intended model. So, you know, it was pretty restrictive before. And now the rule explicitly states, and you cannot use identifiable parts from any other IP. These are not a guideline and suggestion. The little clause I read earlier said, iconic elements and iconography include, but are not limited to. Not may include, they do include. So yeah, generic things like holsters or a sword are something that's just fine. But you know what? Those things I don't feel were really added much to the model anyway. You know, those were probably, they're probably so mundane that you wouldn't have known that the model was converted anyway, because it's so bland and uninteresting, I guess.
To put it bluntly,
the notable pieces that people could easily swap into War Machine models are things like chain swords, power fists, orc bits, you know, even Eldar stuff for Retribution. But all of these are clearly identifiable as Warhammer. All of them are off-limits. Even the more generic things, like Chaos Warriors and Demons, are still pretty iconic to Warhammer universe because the style of the armor and the demons. So, you know, I know everyone who listens to this podcast already heard about the Tyranid parts on the Everblight model. It's probably the main piece that started this whole errata. But, you know what? It's okay, because luckily, most War Machine players, not just the tournament-focused ones, aren't actually big hobbyists anyway. Oh, did I just say that? That's a topic for next time. So, yeah, I kind of went off on a little bit of a rant there. And, actually, it's not really a rant. I mean, it's an editorial, I guess. But, you know, I think I'm just saying what most of us are probably feeling anyway. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I went too far off on the whole talk about the errata and stuff like that. But, yeah. This game, it has its own quirks. There are things that people will complain about. People don't like, you know, all the rules, I guess. They don't like the complexity. They don't like caster kills. They don't like, you know, not knowing a rule and losing. That's tough. That's what this game is. When you play this game, that's what it's about. And how to counteract that is you just play games. You play games, you get better. You learn things. And you know what? Again, fool me twice, shame on me. That's basically what the issue is. So, you know, if you guys disagree, please feel free to give me comments. You know, you could put me on the rack if you want. I want to hear what your opinions are on this situation. But I am sure there are a lot of people out there who also agree with the things I say. So make sure, you know, you guys say that too, because I don't want it just to look like I'm making a bunch of points and everyone totally wants to hang me. So yeah, support me, fans, please. Also, with the last solo-sode that I did, I got actually
a few comments here and there, but actually the emails, there were a few notable things that I got, and I thought, hey, you know what? This could be a good opportunity to maybe include a new format. It's where you guys ask questions, perhaps ones that require more than a sentence answer or whatever, a sentence answer if that's what you're into. But why don't you send me questions and I can read some of them and answer them? Because, that idea is super original. It's my goal of making this an interactive show. So let's start off with one of these questions that I got. Oh, by the way, if you have questions and comments, I'm sure you already know we have Facebook, the Troll Patrol podcast, and we also have Twitter, Troll Patrol PC, but email is actually where I seem to get the most actual questions, and that is trollpatrolpodcast@gmail.com. So our first question for today is from Trevor B. I have a... Oh, maybe should I not have even said B? Because maybe people can identify him? Ah, sorry, Trevor B. Anyway... I actually liked your battle report. It was short, sweet, and to the point. Will you be doing those regularly? Oh man, I'm terrible at reading, it seems. It's a possibility. To be honest, I wasn't sure what kind of reception I was going to get by putting that battle report in last time, so I thought I'd test the waters of the short one. You can be sure there will be more in the future, but there are no immediate plans to make it a regular thing. Basically, the thing is, we're not really a battle report podcast, and I'm sure you all know there is a podcast out there called Chain Attack who do very in-depth battle reports, and they're very popular, so I know there's a market out there for people who like that kind of thing. But I always seem to hear that people complain about battle reports because they're long and stuff, so that's why I thought I'd just do a little short one to see if some people like it. And apparently they do. I've only got positive comments about it. There was no one who said anything negative about them. And you know what? If you do feel negatively about my short battle report, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, we never said that we were a battle report podcast anyway. But now that I think about it, I actually don't even know what kind of podcast this is anymore. Because, yeah, it seems anything goes when the AY is around. That guy's awesome. So the next question, or comment, I guess, is from Sonia S. I'm not hitting on you or anything, but are you a female? I just want to know because I don't want to assume, but Sonia seems like a female name. And if you're a man, sweet name. I mean, I don't know. I just put myself in an awkward position, didn't I? Well, anyways, Sonia S, either male or female. Hey, AY, I liked your show. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible at reading. Hey, AY, I liked your solo show episode. And it was interesting because while the other War Machine casts I listen to are always groups of people, but most other casts I listen to of other topics are often solo shows as well, mainly history and science. Oh, there's podcasts about that kind of thing? Anyway, one thing that maybe you could improve on is sounding more enthusiastic. While the topics on my other shows I listen to don't lend themselves very well to an upbeat mood, War Machine is supposed to be a hobby and about fun times. Just something to consider. Thank you, Sonia. It was noted. Obviously, I read these questions before this episode, so I actually made an effort this time. I will try my best, but the thing is, when you talk for 30 minutes and not in front of a group of people, sometimes it's hard to remember to keep that upbeat and happy-sounding, voice. In person, I am very enthusiastic, and my manner is generally more outgoing. So, yeah. If we ever meet in person, we can have a conversation about this. But yeah, I did note that in this episode. I hope I did a good job of trying to make sure that, I was upbeat and things like that. Yeah? No? I don't know. Give me your comments. But yeah, please, I actually really appreciate that we got good reception here. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make this into an all about me show or anything like that. Although, any show about the AY is pretty sweet. But I think I already said before, life has been so busy, and I want to make sure that, we still get, casts out there and, get the opinions of at least me out there and get some discussion going. And yeah, so, like I said, next episode, we actually already have recorded, and Dust and I did a show together, so it won't be a solo episode, I guess. But some things in it might be outdated now because we were talking about how we were going to go to the Southern Ontario Open, and now by the time I release it, We will already have been there, so I might just cut that part out. So, fair warning. But, yeah, we'll see how the show is in the future and stuff like that. But yeah, keep your questions, comments, and all that stuff coming. If you have these longer questions, you can go ahead again, send them to the trollpatrolpodcast@gmail.com. It might not have the in it. I'll have to write it in the show notes. I'm sure it's there somewhere. But yeah, so there's that. Oh, and now for the non-War Machine related things, because it seems that a lot of people, not just myself, do actually play Diablo 3. If for some reason you guys have added me as a friend and we haven't really talked yet, or like we haven't played together, or if we did play, I didn't really say very much. It's really not because I don't want to talk to you or anything like that, or it's not because I don't want to play, except in this game it sucks because you can only have a party of four people, and now I've become part of a pretty friendly guild and stuff like that, where we're always in a party and we're always on Mumble chatting and stuff like that. So hey, if you want, you should come and join our guild too, and come and Mumble chat, and we can talk about stuff. And if you actually want to discuss War Machine things, I guess we could talk about that in there too. Although some people won't really understand anything about what we're talking about. But I guess we could make our own channel. Yeah, whatever. So, yeah. D3, super fun. And for about just under a week, Diablo 3 has their... they have their second year anniversary going on. So it's 100% bonus to finding legendaries and double rift stones. So, yeah. Play. Yesterday I got home, I played for 11 hours because my wife was not home, and yeah, I got 34 legendaries, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's actually just over 3 an hour, so pretty sweet. Anyways, thank you for listening to another episode of TPC. I'm the AY, signing out. Later.